heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense. The National Defense is proud to bring you Assignment Afghanistan and proud to be partnered with Sport Clips, the official haircutter of the VFW, with over 600 locations nationwide.
This is the National Defense Special Edition today. And, of course, it's Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And Jerry is in Afghanistan Assignment Afghanistan. And before we start anything, Jerry, why don't you give the dedication for the show as always?
Hey, this show is for you, the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, all the veterans out there, and all of their families. God bless you. We're here for you.
Man, speaking of the troops, you are right there amongst them this week in Afghanistan. And, you know, this is the first time that I've been able to speak to you since you left a week ago. And, of course, we did the show last week, tried to hook up, couldn't hook up. Give us some idea. First of all, where are you?
I am at a place called Camp Salerno. It's near coast Afghanistan, southeast portion of the country.
And is that, now the last time you were there in Afghanistan, different region, about you know, give us
yeah.
some,
yeah. Yeah, this is further south, but it's still close to the Pakistani border. As a matter of fact, I went on a mission the other day, and I could literally look about 100 meters to my left and see Pakistan.
Wow! So now you're embedded with the troops again, and this time I think it's with the reservists. Have you gotten to that unit yet?
Well, I have. It took me 5 days to get here.
Yeah.
Five horrible days of travel. I got to tell you, I was pretty grumpy when I got here, but finally made it. And I'm doing something. You know, you got to roll with things when
right.
you get here. So, yeah, I've been covering the 48th Combat Support Hospital, all the great reservists working there, saving so many lives and helping so many people. But ironically enough, the 101st Airborne has moved in, started to take over the AO, the area of operations, from the 82nd Airborne. So I'm back with 101st people, and I've hooked up with a dust-off crew. A dust-off means when someone gets hurt and they need a medevac helicopter. That's what we refer to as a dust-off. So I've hooked up with them also, and have had the opportunity to fly out with them on some Mercy missions.
Oh, wow. So you've already flown out on some missions. What kind of can you describe a couple of those to us and tell us what the morale is like over there?
Yeah, well, just like the hospital, the 48th Combat Support Hospital, or CASH as they refer to it, they treat not only military people, but also the Afghan National Army people, police, and civilians. And the same holds true for these dust-off crews. A soldier gets hurt by an IED or gunshot wound, or if a civilian likewise gets injured in a similar way, they'll fly out, pick them up, and bring them into the hospital.
And that's kind of the first line of defense for everybody then, I guess, huh?
Right. And, you know, naturally we do it for our soldiers, you know, top priority. When you look at what the medical people are doing, the dust-off crews and the great people at the 48th CASH, it's you might call it diplomacy through medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps a lot. They have a clinic open 7 days a week. It's called the Local National Clinic. They have an intern program set up for some local doctors, and the local nationals bring their children in. They come in themselves, and, you know, we treat them. They treat them with the greatest of care and gentleness. It's an amazing thing to see. So you know, this is a great thing when you think about it, because those people are picked up by our military crews on the helicopters, brought back to the hospital, or if they walk into the clinic, their kids are treated. You know, that builds confidence in their local government, because, you know, all these people, all the military liaison with the local governments, that helps build confidence in the local government. And, you know, it gives us one up on the Taliban here. And when you think of all the kids who are being treated, you know, that's a future generation. That's a future generation who's not going to be swayed by the Taliban. They're going to look back and remember when their leg was broken, or they were sick, or they're going to remember that trip to the hospital and the doctors and nurses that treated them, the suckers they give them, and the stuffed animals. You know, that's a memory they're going to hold on to.
Well, you know, that's something that, of course, we never hear about, you know, through the media, those kinds of things. We're talking to Jerry Newberry, who is embedded in Afghanistan for the next couple of weeks. And, Jerry, you know, the last time you were there in Afghanistan, and it was with the 101st, yeah, it was just amazing to me to hear those stories about how the men and women of that unit in particular, their morale was so high, even with at that time, with such a degree of violence going on. How are things now? How is the situation has changed, and how's the morale now?
Well, from what I can see, when I was embedded with the 10th Mountain Division in Afghanistan last time, it was a different area of the country, but the 48th Cache and the Dustoff crews, their area of responsibility is six provinces, about the size of the state of Vermont.
Wow.
The much lauded spring offensive that was supposed to take place countrywide has not occurred as of yet. There's still violence down south near Helmand and places like that, Kandahar. But that's been going on for a couple of years. That's where the poppy fields are. There is still violence in the country, but not to the degree that I saw last time. I'm supposed to go out with some local reconstruction teams, and I'm going to get a good look at some of the things they're doing in the cities and the towns by way of schools and hospitals and clinics and things like that. The people, the best I can ascertain, really seem to, they're starting to get it. They're starting to get the idea of a government. Yeah. And people need to be reminded that, unlike Iraq, people of Afghanistan have been not acquainted with government in any form. It's been tribal leaders, village leaders, elders, things like that. And many of the people have been isolated. Well, we've opened roads up, built roads, and you know, we've tried to establish some type of commerce, tried to get the economy going. Those are all things that defeat the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the situation is better as of right now. Certainly there's still violence going on a daily basis. Unfortunately, we've seen that here. But I think it's a success story, and it's going to be a very huge success story in the future. And our troops, you know, I can't say enough about them. I've talked to probably hundreds of, just, you know, I just pop them and start talking to them.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and they believe in their mission, and, you know, they're pissed off at a lot of people back home. They're certainly pissed off at the media, because the media doesn't tell the story. The media, as you know, doesn't tell the story of the successes. And, you know, that really makes them mad. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them. It makes us mad.
Well, yeah, so, you don't hear the stories of them, you know, taking sick kids to the hospital and giving them teddy bears and suckers. I mean, that's something that
right
you don't hear about.
Yeah,
that.
You know, we're just over here kicking down doors and killing people.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to
right.
listen to some people in the media, but that's so far from the truth that you know. And we talk to them and try and tell them that hey, we believe in them. We're behind them 100%, and that's why we're here, so we can hear it from them.
So where are you sleeping, Jerry? Jerry Newberry is in Afghanistan, assigned to Afghanistan, is embedded with the troops there the next couple of weeks. Give us some idea of what your living conditions have been like.
Well, actually, compared to last time, my living conditions are much better.
Yeah, you were in the Corngal Valley last time.
Yeah, Corngal Valley. I'm not being blown off the mountaintop by the wind.
You know? Right.
It ain't home, but it's better. I've been able to get some hot showers, and I certainly appreciate that. So I feel almost like a pogue, a rear echelon pogue. But I made some promises that I wouldn't go out there and get crazy this time. I'm trying not to do that.
Yeah. Did you take any Operation Uplink phone cards with you?
I absolutely did. Unfortunately, they don't work at this particular place. But I tell the guys, hey, stick them in your pocket. You know, you're going to go, you're going to get back down to Bagram or someplace else. And you'll be able to use them then, and they love them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I got to tell you that, you know, like a lot of troops, they're mad at the media, and when they hear the word "embed," it's a dirty word. As soon as they hear I'm with the VFW, and then it's you're okay with it.
Well, and you know, if they find that there's a member of the media that doesn't mind getting his shirt dirty, that's got to be a surprise to them too.
Yeah, and you know, I always feel good about that, and I appreciate it so much how I'm accepted. I've been hanging out with this helicopter crew and crews, I should say. There's more than one crew, and I've flown with more than one crew, and you know, they just have embraced me and. You know, hey, you're going to go eat chow? You know, it's really great.
Are they saying things like, hey, you paying again? You've got the Operation Uplink phone cards and you got cash. I think it's that might be maybe a source of the popularity there too, Jer.
No, actually, I think it's my sparkling personality.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's absolutely what it is. Yeah,
hey.
You know, and my... go ahead.
I want to ask you about, you know, the big news this week is about General Petraeus and that he's, you know, in line for the appointment to Central Command. Have you talked to anybody about that, the guys on the ground? What do they feel about that, and how do you feel about it?
Well, actually, Randy, that's news to me.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is absolute news to me.
Well, you know, that's been the rumor there for a few weeks, and that came down just a couple days, or actually just yesterday, that he was going to be appointed to Central Command. And I just wonder, you know, he's done such a great job with the surge and with the new direction that he spearheaded over there. I just wonder if that's going to take any kind of confidence out of the troops.
No, I don't think so. You know, Jen, that's not a funny move in any way. It doesn't sound like a political move. Generals don't stay in assignments forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's due to be rotated out of there.
Yeah.
You know, he like other soldiers, he shouldn't have to stay there forever. And it only makes sense. Who else are you going to assign to CENTCOM other than General Petraeus?
Yeah, and you know, he's done such a great... I mean, I have the confidence in him that anywhere he goes, he's going to be successful. And
well, yeah, and let me say this, that the Petraeus Doctrine, excuse me, I'm having a hard time talking, I'm a little bit tired. The Petraeus Doctrine is, I've talked to a lot of people about that, officers and enlisted people, and it is the doctrine. It is the Bible.
Yeah.
And so whoever takes his place,
oh, I got,
sure
yeah.
is going to go. Yeah.
I see. So you know, once he set that down, set that in place, then whoever comes in is going to just stay with that same system, and everything should be fine. Hey, I was going to ask you too, Jerry, about, you know, I know you've interviewed a lot of the troops there. You've taped some interviews. Hopefully, we'll get to hear those, you know, on the program. And then you're going to be there for another 2 weeks there in Afghanistan. So, you know, it's really going to be great to hear directly from some of the guys on the ground.
Yeah, I've got some. I'm being somewhat selective. I've taped a lot of interviews, but I think I have a couple that are very poignant, and they're great stories about commitment, about sacrifice, about duty, and about honor. You know, in some places that might sound corny, but not to our listeners.
No.
And not to us. And I can't wait for everybody to hear them.
What's the climate like right now? What's the temperature over there?
Well, it's started out, you know, warm, of course.
Sure.
Well, when I was in Kuwait, it was 100 degrees. Flew into Bagram late at night, early in the morning, about 1:30 in the morning, and it was in the 30s. So that was quite a change.
Yeah.
Bagram's somewhat cool. Flew out here, and it was pretty warm, but then we had a lot of storms, quite a bit of rain, mixed in with the sun, you know, like sort of like a monsoon type thing.
Yeah.
But yesterday and today, especially today, it was, let me tell you, it was hot. It was mm-hmm. a scorcher.
You know, and that's the thing. I think people, you know, we just tend to forget about that kind of a deal where, hey, it doesn't matter what the weather's like. The troops are over there doing their job day in, day out, and none of that makes any difference. They're still going to get it done. And they're just at task.
That's right. And, you know, the troops are doing such a great job. They're not all living large like I am. Like I feel like I am compared to last time. there's still troops out there in some very remote places, very primitive living conditions, still getting their supplies airdropped into them. And, you know, but they're here. And I've talked to so many troops. It's hard not to talk to a troop who mm-hmm. hasn't had multiple deployments.
Well,
absolutely is.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that, too, because last time, that was a big concern about getting supplies in to some of those regions. Has that gotten a little better?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, of course, I'm not an authority, and I don't claim to be. I don't have all the intel from all over. I think things have quieted down greatly, again, except for down south, which has been an ongoing thing anyway. And so, you know, the Taliban insist on throwing their people into the furnace down there. Well, you know, hey, right on. So,
yeah.
You know, we can keep killing them because that's what's happening. Keep throwing their people out there, and they, you know, U.S. military and Canadians and Brits are killing them.
So, Jerry, just to kind of recap things, you're going to be there for a couple more weeks in Afghanistan, embedded with the troops, and you're going to be filing some reports online as well that people can read and kind of follow what you're doing there and who you're speaking to over there. What's the website where people can go check that out?
Well, they can go to vfw.org or certainly townhall.com.
Right.
And I know we have a blog site, and I'm brain dead. I think it's the National Defense.
Yeah, I think it's nationaldefense.com. nationaldefense.com, and we'll have all of those posted where you can just follow those interviews, and we'll have some things that you can hear there too. So, well, Jerry, listen, man, I'll let you go. I have no idea what time it is there, or I just know I know you've been through a lot here in the past week or so, and we really just appreciate you so much being over there, and look forward to hearing your interviews here in the next little bit.
All right, man, and I'll, you know, as soon as I can get those articles through on the Internet, they'll be there. Let everybody know that our troops are doing a great job, and that's why we're here to tell their story.
Thanks.
No place I'd rather be.
Thank you, man. Hey, stay safe. Take care of yourself.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Randy. Bye.
Jerry Newberry from Afghanistan. And he'll be there for the next, like we said, 2 weeks with reports with the troops, hear from the people who are making a difference over there in Afghanistan, embedded with the Army reservists, and especially right there at the hospital. So we'll get to hear and learn more about that situation. A lot of things still to come on the program. We're going to talk to some folks about the new Marine target, the women that are joining the Marines, and a lot of women that have been recruited, and just it's kind of a turn in their traditional recruiting system. Also, we got some folks from 24-Hour Fitness. Lots more to come on Hot Topics right here on the National Defense.
Shine up those boots, Private Jerry Newberry. The National Defense will be right back.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities, freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother, Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you! Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. Of course, Jerry is on assignment in Afghanistan, embedded with the troops, and hear more from him hopefully this hour, and also some of the interviews that he's gotten there in Afghanistan with the folks on the ground, with the men and the women on the ground. This is a great story, and on a phone with us right now is Anna Castillo. Is that right, Anna?
Yes, it is.
And Anna is a senior at William Chrisman High School in Kansas City, Missouri, and she is a Marine Corps recruit going to basic in, what, July?
July 7th.
July 7th. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That is great. And also on the phone, Captain Eric Tausch from Kansas City at a recruiting office here. Is that right, Captain?
Good morning, Randy, with the recruiting headquarters for the Midwest.
Okay. Thank you. Well, now this is, and before we get to Anna, I want to find out, I guess this is pretty much a change in the recruitment situation that the Marines have had for a while, targeting not only women now, but also Latinos and some other specific groups. Is that right?
Well, yes and no, Randy. the straight scoop is really, not a lot has changed, you know. And as a quick look, you know, if you look back through our...
I've never heard we're looking for a few good women.
Well, true, that mantra has stuck, and I think that our wonderful advertising agency, J. Walter Thompson, actually got a star on some piece of concrete somewhere recently for that. But, you know, that said, just really a quick look through even our advertising posters back to the 70s, you'll see that women have always been you know, part of the core, at least for the last 30 years. You know, and so in that regard, nothing really has changed.
But, I mean, when you're running 60-second commercials on American Idol, that is a departure from what the Marines have typically done in terms of trying to attract recruits.
Well, you know, we have a real strong relationship with J. Walter Thompson, and you know, they've provided us a couple of opportunities to get our message across to women who, you know, really are more athletically inclined through some of the health and fitness venues, other things. Simply because we found that those women who are more athletically inclined are more apt to be able to complete boot camp, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
You know, in addition to our wonderful launch of our Marines here during American Idol in January, we also you know, launched another one of our commercials, No Compromises, which for the first time featured our Osprey during the Final Four.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, we don't try to limit ourselves. We are looking for, as always, for qualified young men and women, regardless of gender or race, that think they have what it takes to be Marines. And
right.
We don't try to limit ourselves in one way or the other. So, you know, we would hope that America's Marine Corps would reflect the diversity of America.
Well, I think it's brilliant, and I think it's about time that it was opened up, or at least the perception is that it's opened up for men and women in the Marines, because there are. I mean, just like you said, the athletically inclined women like Anna. And Anna, I want to hear from you. I want to find out, what was it? I mean, when you were a little girl, did you say, one day I'll be a Marine?
Actually, my brother was in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And I just, like, saw him and all dressed up and everything. And I was like, I want to go in the military. Like, I didn't know what branch I wanted to go into.
Right.
And I did a little researching on what I wanted to do. And Marine Corps, you know, just looked great.
Wait a minute. So your brother's in the Navy?
Yeah. Well, he was.
Oh. Okay. So how are those table conversations?
It's a little complicated.
Yeah. I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
But now, so was that when you first thought about and your first visit to sign up for the Marines, was that a little intimidating or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
Yeah, my recruiter actually came over to my house, and we just, like, did a little talking, and he gave me some information about it, and I was so nervous, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And, yeah, I just started talking to him a little more, and I just decided I'm going to go to Miami.
Okay, we're talking to our newest female Marine. We'll find out more about this story when we come back right here on the National Defense.
At ease, soldier. There'll be more Jerry Newberry and the National Defense after this.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
I know someone with lupus. My girlfriend.
My mommy.
We work together.
My sister.
My neighbor.
I know someone with lupus.
She's so tired.
Fatigue, achy joints, and fever.
Severe chest pains, heart problems.
Her kidneys gave up.
He had a seizure.
Pain never stops.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know has lupus.
But there is hope. For information, contact the Lupus Foundation of America at 888-38-LUPUS or lupus.org.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. Jerry, of course, in Afghanistan on assignment, embedded with the Army Reservists there. You know, we take care of everybody on this program, the Army Reservists, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Marines. How about the Marines? And how about the female Marines? That's the story. We're talking to Anna, who's about to become a Marine, and also Captain Tausch, who is a recruiter. And I assume they pointed out the number of women that have enlisted and that you're not going to be, you know, one in a million, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And that's also got to be kind of a comforting point for a lot of women too, Captain, in terms of, hey, we've already got this percentage. What is the percentage, by the way? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head, I don't. Randy, I apologize. But
it's a lot more than it used to be, that's for sure.
I can tell you approximately. I just happen to have the figures for for one state here in our area, Wisconsin, between fiscal years 2000 and 2005, mm-hmm. We have roughly about 650 women who apply anyway to be Marines.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you too. What? Yeah. from the number of women who apply to the number of women who make it through, what is that figure like?
You know, again, Randy, I don't have that off the top of my head, but I can tell you the ones that make it through. Are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And, I speak from experience since I'm married to one.
Oh, is that right?
She had enlisted back in the late 80s when we met. But another testament to the fact that we've been building Marines, men and women, for a very long time.
So, Anna, what kinds of things are you going to be looking forward to at basic when you go in July?
I don't know, just like running and everything, just pushing myself and see how far I can go.
Well, I mean, and that's, in itself, that's going to be a great discovery, just to find out how far you can get and how far, I mean, as far as your abilities, and really find out about yourself. Are you in good shape anyway? I would assume so.
Yeah, I can do like pretty much everything. Like, I'm in all right shape, I guess.
How many push-ups?
Let's not talk about push-ups. Those are the hardest for me.
Listen, if you said two, you got me beat. But Captain? Let us in on that. What kinds of things will be going on there at basic that Anna's going to be in for?
You know, really, and this is really important that our women go through the exact same training as our men,
mm-hmm.
and they can expect a lot of things from being pushed physically beyond. Generally what they've ever been asked to do before, as well as mentally. Some of the first things that she'll come across is building teamwork. Mm-hmm. These Marines don't stand on their own. They're part of a family, they're part of a team, and that's not always something that that they're getting out in the community. So a lot of times we've got to teach folks from very diverse backgrounds, different cultures, how to unite, if you will, under this this common bond of being Marines,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably one of the greatest challenges that most of these folks will face. Obviously, there'll be a lot of yelling involved.
Is that from Anna?
Yeah.
And for some that is even a greater challenge than the physical aspects. The martial arts and weapons training. The really the number of hours that they spend in academics as well, which, though the Marine Corps is well known for its physical prowess,
right?
The number of hours that they will spend on academics and basic training runs about two-thirds of that.
That's what I was just going to say. That I'm going to say you can't be a dummy and be a Marine. I mean, there are some academic standards that are absolutely high. And, you know, Anna, I'm just so I'm so proud of you, and I admire you so much for for not only, you know, heading in that direction to serve your country, but also for the toughest standards set by the Marine Corps. I mean, that's that is just outstanding. What do your friends think? I mean, your friends that are going off to college, your friends that are going into the private sector for jobs. What do they think?
They actually think I'm kind of crazy.
Yeah. Right.
They're just like,
and that helps as a Marine too, doesn't it, Captain?
You know, I really can't answer.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm really like a girly girl and everything, but I also like to get, you know, dirty and like push myself. So they just kind of laugh about it, but they're supportive of what I do.
So you played soccer and softball in high school, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, you know, you're athletic, you're ready to go. I mean, I think you're going to give these guys a run for their money.
I better.
That would be great. And, you know, I'd love to talk to you again after you complete basic and see what kind of an experience that was for you.
Yeah.
If we could do that, that would really, really be great.
Yeah.
And so what after basic? Captain, what's going to happen with Anna? She gets out of basic and then what?
Well, generally, they will go get about 10 days to go rest and recover back home. And really, this is when their family and their friends really see the difference for the first time. They get a very, generally a very polite, respectful person where they may not have had one in the past. Of course, that doesn't seem to apply to Anna here.
No.
But they'll get the first opportunity to actually get to know their Marine, you know, so to speak, and they'll see the transition firsthand. And, you know, hopefully they were able to come out to graduation and learn a little bit more about that.
Well, and I like this, too, in the story that we have here. Anna said her parents needed some persuading to let her join, despite your brother's experience in the Navy.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I'm like my mom's girl, and, you know, I'm just like the delicate one, you know, just the girl. So they're like tougher on me. And when I said I wanted to join the Marine Corps, they're like, oh, my God, are you serious? And they're like, why not Air Force or something? And I was like, well, if I'm going to do something, I want to go with the toughest and the best. So.
All right, wait a minute. So your brother's in the Navy.
Yeah.
Your dad wants you to go into the Air Force.
Yeah.
And you just said, forget it. I'm going into the I love that. I mean, that's, you know what, hey, Captain, you know, too, that's the kind of person you want in the Marines.
Well, and I'll be honest, Randy, that is exactly what we want.
Yeah.
You know, there are obviously some great benefits, and folks have a whole bunch of reasons for joining. But, you know, what our recruiters will tell you is, you know, we want you to want to be Marines. We want you to get information, be completely well-informed, know what you're getting into, and you know, our recruiters will do their best to give you an honest assessment of whether or not you appear, you know, qualified to take up the challenge. But, you know, the bottom line for the Marines has always been, we want you to want to be a Marine.
Yeah, and right. That, you don't want to have to talk somebody into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just in case, Captain, there are a lot of women listening right now that are just about to apply for America's Top Model. What is the website, and how can they get more information to be like Anna? And by the way, that is your new slogan now, be like Anna. That should be on the posters.
Well, we'll talk to J. Walter Thompson about that.
Yeah.
See what they think.
We should start a show.
That's right. Exactly, Anna. Yay. Well, America's Top Marine. Ooh, I like it.
You know, a couple of things that they can do, Randy, real easy. Dial 1-800-MARINES, or they can go check out the website, www.marines.com. The website will give them some detailed information and actually let them, you know, explore some of the different facets about being a Marine, what it's like, what it takes, that kind of thing. It also gives them an opportunity, if they wish, to request more information.
Well, Captain, hey, thank you for your service and your wife's service. And, you know, thank you for going out there and finding the men and the women that we need to serve our country. That is just such an important job. And, Anna, once you get back from basic, we want to hear from you, okay?
All right. right. Sounds good.
That is great. Ani, good luck to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Randy.
That is just a great story. And by the way, I think the thing that we forgot to point out in that is, you know, he talked about J. Walter Thompson, the ad agency there that represents the Marines. Their ad budget, by the way, for last year, $154 million. $154 million. And that's how serious they are about attracting the very best people for the Marines. Great stuff. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs that keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans. Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units. And care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister Marcy.
Hi.
Hello.
To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Hey Marcy, let's go to the zoo.
Maybe the park.
We could fly a kite.
I want a hot dog.
No,
ice cream.
Is that a horse?
I love horses.
Hey, let's dance.
Maybe that's enough chocolate.
And sing.
La la la, la 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 la.
It's also not uncommon for a kid to demonstrate special powers.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
That's all for now.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And, of course, Jerry Newberry is not here because he is in Afghanistan on assignment. And he's embedded with the troops, the Army Reservists. And we'll hear more from Jerry. And he's going to be there for two more weeks in Afghanistan. So, and obviously missing his training sessions. That's why we have our good friends from 24-Hour Fitness here, because that's how this works, by the way. If you haven't been listening for the last few weeks, when you get out of the service, you go right to 24-Hour Fitness. There's no stop. There's no, you don't collect $200. You go right to 24-Hour Fitness. Trainer Jason Lester from Kansas City is on with us. Jason, how are you?
I'm great.
Are you a master trainer?
No, I'm not. Not yet.
How do you get to be a master trainer? It seems like everybody we've talked to at 24-Hour Fitness has the word master in front of their names. Do you expect all the people you train to refer to you as master?
Well, yeah, I mean, master you definitely have to earn, and it depends on how many qualifications and certifications that you get.
Oh, I thought it might just be how much weight you you strand on somebody's chest until, call me master!
No. Well, if that's the way you got it, then I would get it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So now, what is your background, Jason? Were you in the service?
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years.
Wow. Now, see, here we go. I mean, this is such a great story, and I tell people about this all the time, about 24-Hour Fitness, and they're just, for some reason, they're so surprised, which is why I'm so glad to get the word out about you guys, that veterans especially should feel so comfortable at 24-Hour Fitness, because that's the culture, that's the environment there, right?
Right.
And so what was it that attracted you to 24-Hour Fitness after your time in the Marines?
Well, I'd always been into working out and lifting weights, and you know, I actually started at 24-Hour Fitness as a sales counselor, and, you know, just trying to be a salesman just wasn't my thing. I'm more of a motivator and a pusher. So,
it would be tough for people to, you know, maybe turn down the sale.
Yeah, but I just, for me, I'm more, you know, I want to push somebody and help them and motivate them. I'm not so much of persuading them to buy something.
Right.
So I became a trainer, and, you know, my Marine Corps background definitely helps with pushing people to their limits and knowing what they can do physically and mentally.
Well, you know, that's interesting. We just talked to Anna Castillo, who is going into the Marines, and we were talking to Captain Eric Tausch of the recruitment headquarters about how they're really trying to put the word out for women also to know that they need them in the Marines. And one of the messages that we got from Captain Tausch was that you really don't want to have to talk people into joining the Marines. I mean, they right. You know, you want to be a Marine or you don't, that kind of a thing. And that's kind of the attitude there at 24 Hour Fitness that I keep hearing.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, either you want to be a trainer or you don't.
Yeah.
I
mean, and the people,
not everybody has it.
And the people that come into 24 Hour Fitness, they want to be trained. I mean, they want the best of training, and they want the best people to train them, right?
Exactly. I've had a lot of clients who actually requested somebody with a military background.
Well, hey, listen, the chances are pretty strong that if you come into 24 Hour Fit, any 24 Hour Fitness, you're going to get somebody with a military background, because that is, from the CEO on down, I mean, that is the culture of 24 Hour Fitness. What are they ever intimidated by the fact that you're a Marine when you start training them?
At first they are. You know, first they hate me.
Yeah.
They think I'm mean-looking, and, you know, then they start to realize how it works.
Yeah.
That's the only way that's going to push them harder is to motivate them and be a little mean with them sometimes. I'm not putting them down or disrespecting them. I know that they're more capable of what they can do, and it's more of getting mentally into their head than it is physical.
You're trying to get them to rise to their potential.
Exactly, like they did in boot camp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's, you know, Anna Castillo, the senior from William Chrisman, she's getting ready to go into to basic training. What kind of things does she have to look forward to?
Well, honestly, for me, boot camp was pretty much more of a mental game than it was a physical game.
Uh-huh.
So the Marine Corps.
You had no problems with the physical part?
No. I mean, I really don't think, unless you're really overweight and you never really done exercise, it's a breeze. It's more of a, you know, they break you down mentally and rebuild you into a better person.
It's a breeze. You know, I don't know if too many people that are going to say the boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp, is a breeze. But,
well, besides getting up early in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, you should be a trainer. That's perfect for you. That is so good. Well, hey, Jason, thanks for talking to us, and thank you for your service.
No problem. Thank you.
24 Hour Fitness is the place to be when you want to have that culture. I mean, these guys, I'm telling you, they come out and they go right to 24 Hour Fitness, and they're ready to. It's a boot camp every single day at 24 Hour Fitness. All right, we're going to talk to Jerry again next week. He's in Afghanistan on assignment. He's embedded there with the Army Reservists. We're going to find out what's happening with him. More interviews with the troops and lots more next week right here on the National Defense. Thanks for listening.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am a 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they brought another hero home to us. We're thankful for those, thankful for the things we've done. We can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us. We made it to Arlington.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like thank you, like we'll never forget you, like we're behind you 100%. Like we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at uso.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.